Thank you so much, Pastor. Benjamin, can we save that for tonight? Save it for tonight, okay? Thank you, buddy. Boy, what an honor and privilege it is to be here with you folks, and so appreciate all the prayers for our family. Boy, it's been an interesting several months that God has given us. They're in the great white north of Michigan, and so we've gone from freezing to springtime, and that's a blessing. But just appreciate your prayers. It was difficult to deal with COVID. I know many of you have had to deal with that, and that was a tough go. We had a wonderful place that we were staying there in Michigan, but my wife decided that wasn't good enough for her. She needed 5-star, and so she decided to go stay at the Hotel Beaumont, and only $6,000 a night, by the way. So if you're interested, wonderful place to stay. But no, they took good care of her those 12 nights that she was there at the hospital. But it's just been an interesting time, very interesting time for us. And so I really appreciate the privilege and honor that it is to be able to stand here in the pulpit. Pastor Davison, thank you so much, and to be able to share. Now, let me give you just a quick update. Try to be mindful of the time this morning. What's going on with the Iben family? As you know, my wife's had many medical issues ongoing and many tests. And right now, what we do know is that the doctors have confirmed that she has a condition that causes the narrowing of the arteries of her heart. It's not immediately life-threatening, but it is something that we will have to deal with for the rest of her life. And so we're praying about that, trying to sort out what treatment options are going to be right for us. And of course, that carries with it the question, is this something that could be managed third world? And so these are very serious matters, and we would covet your prayers concerning all that. She does have another test coming up that's going to help us have a better idea of what the proper course of action will need to be. And so that's incredibly important. We would certainly appreciate your prayers in that regard. All right. Again, thank you so much for your continued prayers and encouraging words. Good to be here with you this morning. And would you turn in your Bible to the book of Luke? Book of Luke. Got a text from Pastor this morning saying, brother, I'm praying for you. Looking forward to what God has for us today. And I wanted to text him back and say, whoo, I better throw something together. Amen. No, I knew it was coming, been praying about it, and I know Pastor has been too, and so looking forward to it. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. If you please join me in standing for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering him said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for the privilege that we have to gather together in your house, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, I pray this morning the Holy Spirit of God would have free reign in our midst to work in each of our hearts to accomplish that which you desire, that which would bring you honor and glory, for you alone are worthy. Lord, I pray that today we would leave here a little closer to you with a better understanding of your burden to see the lost come to Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, several years ago, while serving on the field of Pohnpei, I was approached by Pastor Rickson Keeling, a missionary that we have supported here for a number of years. And he said, Brother Gabe, I want to invite you to our church's annual fishing contest. I said, oh, yeah, sign me up. That sounds great. And so we made plans. Benjamin and I got together, and we began to plot and to plan, develop a strategy. We were going to win this fishing contest. I mean, we got our fishing poles together. We got everything cleaned up. We got our best lures. We even went out and got a special bait. We were ready to win the contest. I remember that day we got there and we boarded the boat with all our brown-skinned friends, and out we went. Many, many boats going out to the reef to fish that day. And as we were fishing, I noticed something very, very strange happen. I would throw my line out with my fancy fishing rod and reel, and I would catch nothing. But my island friends, they would have a wad of fishing line with a hook on the end, and they would drop it down, and very quietly, a few minutes later, they'd haul in a nice fish. No excitement, you know, no celebration. They'd just put it up, some more meat on the hook, and down they'd go with the line. You know, after a little while, I realized that it wasn't very likely we were going to win this fishing contest. And so we changed our bait. We began to use the same bait that they were using, and we kept on fishing. But Brother Minion, I couldn't catch anything. So here we were in the same boat as our friends. We were using the same bait as our friends. We're fishing in the same place as our friends. They were catching fish. We were catching nothing. And I realized something in that moment. The fish in Micronesia are racist. Okay? That's what I realized that day. They don't like white people. But as I watched the situation unfold, I realized, you know what? These men, they're fishing. Benjamin and I, we're wishing. Can I tell you something? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, with all assurance of the Scriptures, I want you to know God wants you to be fishing for men. Here in our passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ has a lesson to teach the people, and he sees there are boats there on the shoreline. And he decides that it would be much better to get out onto the water so he can project his message to as many people as possible so that they can clearly hear his voice. Now, what's interesting, though, is that the ships, the boats, if you will, they're already on the shore. As a matter of fact, the fishermen are cleaning the nets. Now, Brother Micah, I have a question for you. When you clean the nets, do you clean nets before you fish or after you fish? Oh, wow, okay. So you weren't sleeping. All right, that's good. By the way, that's my favorite thing. If I see you sleeping, I'm going to ask you a question, okay? Just so you know. And so, yes, they have already been fishing. That's how it works. You go fishing, the nets get dirty, and then you come home, you clean them so that they're ready to go for the next time. These men have been toiling all night long. They're tired. It's been a long evening's work. The boats are already on the shore. And yet Jesus comes along and says, I want to use your boat. Simon, I want to use your boat. And so Simon obliges the Lord Jesus Christ, and out they go onto the water. But then in verse 4, we see something very interesting. And by the way, we don't know how long that Jesus was speaking. We're not even sure exactly what he taught that day. But what we do know is here's some tired fishermen who are ready for some rest. And after Jesus gets done, he says in verse 4, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And look at Simon's response. He answers and says unto Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. For those of you who are taking notes, first off, I want us to see Peter's polite objection. His polite objection. Here the Lord Jesus gives him a command. I want you to launch out into the deep. It's interesting because that phrase literally means to make a new start on a challenging enterprise. You know, as we have traveled over the past several months, and obviously we had to recover from COVID and try to get our strength back, but we've been at least a handful of churches. And Brother Bond, do you know what I've found? What I've heard repeatedly from these churches is, you know what, you're the first missionary that we've seen since COVID. Pastor, nearly half of the churches we have been in over the past several months have told me that. You're the first missionary we've had come in since COVID. Well, last time I checked, COVID's been going on for quite a while. Can I tell you something? There are some churches out there, and there's some folks out there who need to launch out with the gospel, to make a renewed effort to get out the gospel. And here Jesus is commanding Peter to launch out. God wants us all to be launching out with the gospel with a renewed passion and vigor. Listen, each of us can go with the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Now, I want to ask a question. Let's see. I don't know. I see some ladies back here. Are you all, the ladies back there, are you all ambassador students? But, oh, okay, right there. Good. So you guys know like everything, right? Yeah, amen. Okay, I'm going to pick on you ladies for a minute. I want to ask you, who reached Simon Peter with the gospel? You can work together. It's okay. Right? You want to phone a friend? All right? Go ahead. Anybody? His brother. You know, you're exactly right. His brother Andrew. Andrew, when he learned about the Lord Jesus Christ, said, I'm going to reach my family with the good news. What about another of the apostles? What about Nathanael? Who reached Nathanael? Anybody know? Anybody? Yes, sir. That is amazing. Now, wait a minute. None of you ladies raised your hand on that one. But Brother Davidson right here, right there. Oh, you did? Okay, I missed it. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right, Philip. You know what? Philip said, you know what? I've got the good news, and I want to reach my friends with that good news. Who can you go to with the good news? Who can you go to with the gospel? Have you been to your family with the gospel? Have you been to your friends with the gospel? What about your foes? What about those people who mess with you at work, right? Who pick on you, oh, you're one of those goody-goody Christians, right? Oh, apparently I'm the only one who's ever dealt with that? Okay, good for you. Listen, God wants us to launch out with a new vigor and passion with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to tell others, to tell our family members, to tell our friends, and to tell those around us. Each of us can go. But let me say this. You say, well, you know, God called you to go 8,000 miles to Micronesia. Is God going to call me to go around the world? If you won't cross the street with the gospel, God's surely not going to send you to the other side of the world with the gospel.
That's right.
Amen? God wants us to be reaching out in our community, sharing the good news, seeing folks come to know Christ. And as we do that, God opens the doors for us to expand that around the world. Not only can we go, but we can give. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Here we see the church at Macedonia, and the Bible tells us that in a great trial of affliction, of the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Look, we all have the ability to go. Maybe not to the other side of the world, but to our next door neighbor, to our family and friends. And we all have the ability to give. to give so that others can go around the world with the gospel. You know, I hate to say this, it takes money. It takes money to send people to the other side of the world. It takes money to purchase Bibles so that you can give those out in the prisons and to little kids who have never had a Bible before. It takes money to purchase gospel tracts, even if you order them for the place that sends them for free, okay? It does. It takes money to do these things. Are we giving? Are we giving for the furtherance of the gospel? But not only that, we can all pray. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now listen to what Paul says. In verse 19, he says, and for me. What? And pray for me. Why? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Do you realize that your missionaries need boldness to get out the gospel? Listen, when I'm dealing with... Look, Brother Coffee, are you awake? Amen, brother. Amen. When I'm dealing with little kids, you know what I find? It's easy to share the gospel. It really is. When I'm dealing with the gutter drunk in Colonia Town, Pohnpei, you know, it's not hard. It's not hard to share the gospel. But when I'm dealing with the prime minister of the Marshall Islands, when I'm talking to the president of the Federated States of Micronesia, when I have an opportunity to speak to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and I'm trying to share the gospel, I need boldness. Amen. And I need people to pray that I have the boldness. Can I tell you something? I'd love to sit here and tell you all kinds of, like, these great stories, right, of, like, good stuff. But let me tell you this. At one function at the U.S. Ambassador's residence, there had been a particular person that I had wanted to share the gospel with, brother. And I had a track in my back pocket. And there was a commotion behind me, and I turned around, and you know who was looking right at me? The Chinese ambassador to the Federated States of Micronesia. And he began to talk to me. He said, oh, you got a radio station? You need anything? Oh, we have plenty money. Plenty money. Gave me his card. Brother Minion, I reached my back pocket, grabbed that track, and I stopped. Because that track had on it the American flag and an eagle, and these words, God bless America. I was afraid in that moment I would offend him. But can I tell you, I wish I would have just had the boldness to give him that track. One day, I'm going to see in eternity what the result of that decision was. I wish I would have had boldness that day to give him that gospel tract. Are you praying for your missionaries? Are you praying for them to have boldness? Are you praying that God would open up doors so that they can give forth the gospel with freedom and liberty and that the gospel would be received? Listen, we can all pray. But I'm afraid today, too often, our attitude is that of Peter. You see, Peter was a professional fisherman. This wasn't his first go-round on the lake. As a matter of fact, he had taken over the family business. And I can just imagine, now the Bible doesn't say this, all right, so don't go out of here saying, well, brother, I've been said. Okay, don't do that. But I can just imagine what was going through Peter's head after a long night of fishing, after cleaning his nets, after putting the boat up and wanting to get some rest. And now he's been out there half the day. He's tired. He's ready to go. And Jesus says, I want you to launch out. I can imagine Peter thinking, well, you know, listen. Do you see this boat? Do you see the polish on this boat? There's not a boat on the Sea of Galilee moves as smoothly through the water as my boat. Master, I have all the polish. Matter of fact, Master, I even invented my own fishing program. We have a certain time when the moon's in a certain cycle and we go fishing, I've got this programmed all out. As a matter of fact, I'm at least a second generation fisherman. I'm a professional. So look, I've got the polish. I got the program. I got the professionalism. And I appreciate that you want us to go out and do some more fishing, but really, I'm the expert here. And so we see Peter's polite objection. And unfortunately, we have folks, not here, of course, all right, not at Maranatha, but in those other places, Brother Blondo, that say, you know what, I'm a pro at this. I've studied this, I've done it for years, and you know what, we're not catching anything. And what happens is, we end up going, but we go half-hearted. We give, but we don't give cheerfully. And we pray, but we don't pray believing. And that polite objection results in number two, partial obedience. Look at verse 4 again. When Jesus left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, I am not a Greek scholar. I know one. He taught Sunday school. But other than that, But what I do know is this. The Greek is very specific. And here, Jesus said, let down your nets. Now, Brother Coffee, when you add an S to the end of a noun, what does that do? What? It makes it, were you homeschooled?
Yes.
Oh, amen, brother. That's good. Yeah. Hey, it makes it plural. That means, for those of you who don't know, more than one. But how did Simon respond? What did he say? He said, nevertheless, I'll let down the singular net. Partial obedience. Can I tell you something? God deserves better than our partial obedience. When the Lord lays it on our heart to be reading a chapter, and we say, but Lord, I'll read a verse. When the Lord lays it on our heart to pray for a particular people group, and we say, well, I'll pray for that person. When the Lord lays it on our heart to give a dollar figure, we'll say, well, I'll give a dollar. That's partial obedience. God deserves better than that. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain, He hath washed it white as snow. Jesus gave everything that you and I might be redeemed. If He lays something on our heart, whatever it might be, He deserves our full obedience. Not some partial gesture, but full obedience. But look what happens. Look what happens in verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Can you imagine? Here they are. They've been fishing their whole lives. They've heard stories about their dads and grandfathers and great fishing days. But they've never, ever had a day of fishing like they've had today. And here Peter sees this. Their boats are full. They're ready to literally sink because there's so many fish. Now, at this fishing contest, though I didn't catch anything, well, that's not true. I did catch a piece of coral. Okay, I was very proud of my piece of coral. But I didn't catch any fish. As we made all the boats, as the contest was ending and the boats were making their way back to the shore, I saw something I have never seen in my life. There along the shoreline, all the women of the church and the women of the immediate community had gathered. They wanted to see what the catch was. And Miss Blonda, can I tell you? I'm watching ahead and there's a boat and the ladies are all, woo-hoo, right? They're excited. Boy, this fisherman, he opens up the cooler. He reaches in. He pulls out this fish. And all of a sudden, it was not a big fish. But those women, woo! Woo! They went crazy. Now, they weren't dancing, okay? Before you go out of here and say, Brother Rickson's got ladies dancing, they weren't dancing, okay? Kind of looked like it, but they weren't really dancing. They weren't dancing. They were excited. Then the next boat would come up, and they'd be like, oh, they got the big, okay, so they get the bigger fish, and they'd pull it out, and they'd pull that fish out, and they'd laugh, woo! Man, one of the ladies had a megaphone. I mean, they were taking this serious. Yeah, woo! Yeah! I mean, they were so excited about these fish. And then, you know, every boat would come, and they'd show their fish, and then our boat came, and the guy, the boat before us, this guy had this giant fish. It was all blue. Even had blue teeth. I've never seen anything like it. And nobody was going to top that. So when our boat came up, they just got the smallest fish out of the cooler and held it up. Those ladies still, woo! Man, they went nuts. Can I tell you something? They were excited about the catch. Are you excited about the catch? Listen, the Bible tells us that when one lost sinner repents, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. That rejoicing is not the angels. That rejoicing is God Almighty. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it was God Almighty from the throne of heaven that rejoiced because you got saved. The Creator of the universe stopped everything in that moment so He could rejoice that you were redeemed. And yet today we hear, oh, did you hear? Oh, we've been praying for this guy for how many months, how many years? They got saved. Well, bless the Lord. That's wonderful. Oh my. Do the things that excite God excite you? By the way, let me just break this to you. As far as I know, no fishing in heaven. No golf, no football, no hunting. As far as I know. Brother Seth, I know that breaks your heart. I know that breaks your heart, buddy. He's over there going, yeah. But here's what I do know. And this is really good news for the Baptists. There's going to be eating. I do know that. Okay, there's going to be a feast. I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty pumped about that. But there's going to be praising. There's going to be worship. If you don't like worship and you don't like praise, buddy, I'm going to tell you right now, heaven is going to be a miserable place for you. Just saying. Do the things that excite God excite you? Here, Peter looks at the catch. He looks at what's going on. And look how he responds. Number three, Peter's poignant observation. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." In pride, Peter said, "Nevertheless, I'll let down the net." In pride, Peter partially obeyed. And God gave him the greatest catch of his life. It wasn't the polish. It wasn't the program. It wasn't the professionalism. By the way, I'm thankful for all those things in our churches today. I'm glad we have a beautiful facility we can meet in and worship. It took a lot of work. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears. A lot of sacrifice to transform this building. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the programs that we have that we're able to utilize to help be organized and get out the gospel. I'm thankful for those things. They have their place. I'm thankful for the professionalism that we see in the ministry. I'm afraid there's some areas where there's a great need for some professionalism. But can I tell you, all the polish in the world, all the programs that you can muster, all the professionalism you can present is a poor substitute for the power and the presence of Almighty God. I'm trying to be sensitive to the time here. In Micronesia, I get invited to preach at different places. All the pastors do. It's kind of a thing they do. It's like a round robin type thing. They get invited, and it's so great. I love it. I miss it so much. But one year, I was invited to preach opening revival for the Christian school. And I remember, Pastor, I had it all lined up. Man, I knew day one, day two, day three, this is what I'm preaching. I got all my outlines. They're all alliterated. I mean, I've got my, Brother Hanky, I've got my best Hawaiian shirts picked out. Amen. No tie. Okay? I'm ready to go, man. I've got the program. I got the polish. I got the professionalism. I'm ready to go. I get there. There's at least 120 high schoolers. Preach my heart out. It was like there's a giant wet blanket, spiritually speaking, on that place. I said, what in the world? Nobody responded at the invitation. Next day, I go in there and same thing. I've got my message. I mean, I did it just like they tell you at Ambassador. You know, you got to dot all the I's, cross all the T's. I've even got a little song at the end, right? You know? Preach my heart out. Brother Blondo, about a dozen students raised their hand at the invitation, but nobody would come to the altar. So now it's day three. It's the last day of the revival at the school. I knew what I was going to preach. Had it all planned out. Praying, Lord, you got to do something. Lord, if you don't show up, this is of no value. Lord, if you don't show up, this would be worthless. About 6 o'clock that morning, while I was praying, God said, you're not preaching that. I said, oh, really? I got to preach in just a little while. I kind of need something. Lord said, you're going to preach from John 3:16. And so, I prayed. I went to the school early. Walked around the grounds of the school and I prayed. Lord, if you don't show up, we're meeting for nothing. Went through the auditorium where I was going to be speaking. Looked at all the chairs. Said, Lord, if you don't show up, these kids are going to die and go to hell. Lord, we need you to show up today. Came time for the sermon. Pastor, I preached my heart out. Gave the invitation. Nobody, Brother Brady, nobody came to the altar. They dismissed. All those kids left. And once I was in that big auditorium by myself, I sat down and I said, Lord, why am I here? 8,000 miles from home. Left a good career. I asked you to show up. Nothing happened. Lord, why am I even here? What's the point? About that time, the door to the auditorium opened up. And one of the pastors came in with two girls. Mercedes and Esmeralda. He said, Brother Ivan, these two young ladies need to speak to you. So they sat down in front of me and I said, ladies, how can I help you? Do you have a question? And one girl looked at me and suddenly it was like the tears burst from her eyes. She said, I need to get saved. Then the other girls, you know how girls are, they all start crying together, right? So they're both just crying. And in those few moments, I dealt with them each individually. They both trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I said, wow, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I needed that. I needed that. I got up and I was walking out of that room there. And as I was making my way to the hall, another pastor comes to me and he says, Brother Adam, don't leave yet. There's a young lady who needs to speak to you. Okay. Went in. How can I help you? I need to get saved. One-on-one. Dealt with her about the plan of salvation, about trusting Christ. She trusted Christ as her Savior. Can I tell you, for the next 2.5 hours, I dealt with student after student after student. 19 students trusted Christ as their Savior. At least 4, beyond that, got assurance of salvation. I'm not telling you that because of me. I'm telling you, when God showed up, things began to happen. Here, Peter realizes, it doesn't matter how much polish I put on my boat. It doesn't matter how professional I am. It doesn't matter how much I know about all this stuff. If God doesn't show up, what keeps God from showing up? In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, it says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Peter went from pride to penitence. Today, I need to go from pride to penitence. I need to recognize that what's most needed in my life and in my ministry is the power and the presence of Almighty God. I want to finish with this illustration. Last year, Susan and I had the privilege of taking the very first vacation alone that we had taken in probably a decade. And we went down to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And every day, I would go to one of the fishing piers. And we'd walk down the pier, and here's what you'd ask. Catching anything? Catching anything? Catching anything? And this went on day after day, and I loved it. I loved to see what was being caught. Ask that, are you catching anything? But then there was one day, it was a Thursday, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and walked down the pier. And Brother Bray, I didn't have to ask, are you catching anything? The fish were flying over the rail. I mean, they were just flying. Man, they were catching albacore, they were catching mackerel. Literally, the fishermen were all pushed to the end of the pier, Brother Minion, elbow to elbow, get out of my way. As soon as their bait would hit the water, bam, they were reeling them in. It was so exciting. I said, man, this is the place to be. It was awesome. Do you know how many fish I caught that day? None. None. Because I wasn't fishing, I was wishing. This morning, God wants each of us to be fishers of men. But if you ain't putting the bait out, you're not going to catch anything. Simple, I guess, hillbilly logic, I don't know. I wonder if we could stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as the instrumentalists come. Maybe God's spoken to your heart, you say, Brother Ivan, I realize I can't catch anything if I'm not fishing. If I don't have the bait out. If that's you, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to ask God to help you to have that boldness to reach out with the gospel. Each of us can go. Each of us can give. And each of us can pray. But maybe there's one here this morning. You see, I realize God's spoken in my heart. I've been leaning on my polish. I've been leaning on my professionalism. I've been leaning on programs. I've forgotten the importance of the power and presence of Almighty God in my life. If that's you, maybe you need to get alone with God. Humble yourself before Him and ask Him to forgive you. Let me encourage you, if God's spoken to your heart, come do business with Him as the instruments play.